start with a prayer. Father, we just open ourselves up to you. Father, yielded as vessels of you and your love and your grace. Father, we pray that you minister into us, through us, Lord, in a way that changes those little areas, Lord, things that we may have held back up to this point, or things we haven't understood up to this point, Lord, that we're able to yield it unto you, to allow you then to speak deeply, to speak into those places, and Lord, that it brings that little tweaking, that little change that will bring glory to your name, that will exalt the name of Jesus Christ, that will change our life in that little way, Lord, that will help us one step further, one step more in that direction of just living a life that glorifies you and living out this new life that we have in Christ. Father, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let me start by asking you some questions. You know, I like to do that sometimes to get you thinking, kind of shows you, hopefully it'll give you an idea kind of the direction we're going. But let me ask you, they're pretty basic questions. Number one, do you believe in that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Okay. Pretty much everybody, oh yeah, sure I do. That's easy enough. Do you believe that he lived a perfect, sinless life? Was he crucified on the cross, put to death, bearing the punishment for all of your sin? Did Jesus die on the cross for all of your sin? Okay. Did he then raise from the dead, conquering sin and death forever? Pretty basic, right? I mean, as a believer, those are things that, if, you know, most of us, if you asked us, we'd say, sure, yeah, I believe all that. So now for the big question, okay? Because here's where I'm going. We believe all that, right? So having believed all those things, do you place your faith and trust in him and accept him as your Lord, your Master, and your Savior? Believing all that other stuff, do you trust in him as your Lord and Savior? Pretty much. Everybody, yes. So I want to solidify that right now, okay? That we are believers. We trust in God. Most of us, you know, we come into church, we already believe, especially in this kind of a church. I mean, I'm very evangelical in that way. I want people to know that they're saved. And so we come in, we already know those kinds of things. If you answered yes to all of these questions, then you have to also know this, that he has replaced your stony, hardened against God heart with a new one, giving you a new life in him. Okay? He has given you a new heart. You hear in the medical field about a heart transplant. You could say that that has taken place. We had a heart that was so hardened against God, and maybe we weren't antichrist, maybe we weren't living bad, maybe we were a fairly good person, maybe we were living our life, maybe we were doing good things, we're doing all that, but it was still hardened against God because we did not believe on him. We hadn't trusted and accepted him. So it was, as the Bible calls it, a stony heart. It was hardened against him, and it has now been replaced by the master surgeon, right, by God, and been exchanged or replaced with a new heart. He has given us a new heart that is able to comprehend God. The expectation when we give our life to Christ and this transformation takes place inside is that we then not just know about a new life in Christ, we don't just say that we have a new life, but now we want to live it out, right? We live as a new creation, and that's what we're going to hear today. Look at Ezekiel chapter 36. Verses 24 through 27. Here's a prophecy. This is a prophet, and he's prophesying. He's telling us that this is what God says. God says, I will take you from among the heathen, and I will gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. He's going to bring us into the promised land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a softened heart, or a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Okay, this was a prophet saying, this is what God says is going to happen to you. And then as we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the transformation that takes place. We had a stony heart. God has replaced it with Him and with His heart, with His Spirit, so that we can walk out the things that He wants us to walk out. Essentially, it's just like Jesus told us in John chapter 3. Okay, there's pretty famous verses in there. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. But in John chapter 3, the first part, the first eight verses, He is telling about a conversation with a man named Nicodemus, and He's telling him about being born again. Okay, that scary term for some of the more secular religions or secular denominations, that term born again is kind of scary, but I want to explain to you, this is just what God said was going to happen. Okay, He said you must be spiritually born again. Okay, and even Nicodemus, he's a smart guy, so he questioned, what do you mean I can be born again? I can't go into my mama's womb. You know, what are you talking about, right? And so Jesus explained it to it. Let's read the first couple of verses. John 3, 1 and 2 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, pretty smart guy. The same came to Jesus by night, and he says unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Okay, notice that he didn't come and say, we know that you are the Savior. We know that you are the Lord. He said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. He's got him in a category where he went to see Jesus because he knows there's something special about him. But he went to see Jesus because we know that you're a teacher come from God, that you have some good things to say. But he's not calling him Lord. He's not calling him Master. He didn't say, we know that you're the Messiah. Okay? So there's lots and lots of people, churches, denominations, whatever, in this category, where they're coming to Jesus, they're wanting to hear about him because they know that he is a teacher come from God. But they're not yet calling him their Lord, their Messiah. They're not calling him their Master yet. Okay, and so just like that, just to believe on Jesus, to believe in Jesus because of his miracles is not enough. Countless denominations and religions teach that he was a good man, that he was a prophet, and they promote the idea that we should believe in him because he did miracles. But they leave out the answer that Jesus gave to Nicodemus at this point. Nicodemus comes, he's a smart guy. He says, we know you're a teacher from God. But listen to what Jesus says to him next. Let's read John 3, 1 through 7. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and says unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born in the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So just coming to him because he's a teacher, just coming to him because you know that he says some good things, and just because he's done some miracles and people will believe on the miraculous, just because that's happening isn't enough. He said you still must be, even though you've got an interest, you still must be born again. Okay, now I have friends and family that are in this category. They've come to... they're interested in Jesus. They might be going to church, but they're not going because he is their Messiah, that he is their Master, that he is their Lord and Savior. They're going because that's what you're supposed to do on Sunday mornings. They're going because it's the religious thing to do, and I'm religious. They're going for the wrong reasons, but Jesus said very clearly, that is not enough, for no man can see the kingdom of God except he be born again. That's that spiritual replacement of the stony heart with the softened one towards God. It's the transformation that takes place. And Jesus says, just to believe is not enough, or to come to be interested is not enough. You have to believe that He does this in you, that He transforms that heart on the inside. Most of you might be thinking, okay, Pastor, please tell me something I don't know. Because I already am born again. I already know that Jesus is the Lord. I'm already, accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior. So tell me something I don't know. Well, as the title of the message implies, I want you not just to see that you've been saved and on your way to heaven, but to be able to live in the blessing of the new life that He has given you. What happened? That transformation happened. So now how do we live? What happened? What changed? What's going to make my life different now than it was before? For starters, you have to do this. Number one is to quit thinking of yourself the way that you used to be and start seeing yourself as who you are now in Christ. Okay, and I do this thing sometimes, and I know if you're listening on a CD or something, you can't see this, but the before Christ, and then you get transformed, and now you step over here and you're in Christ, okay? Something happened, and so we look at what happened in that. We got to stop thinking of ourselves as this side of the line and realize that we have now stepped over into Christ. We're in the other side. We're in Him now. Okay, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, you got to start over. A clean slate. He said, I will wash you with clean water and wipe that slate clean. Okay, spiritually, you got to start over. Your slate was wiped clean by your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus did this for me. He washed me clean. I get to start over spiritually. All things have become new, it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Your flesh, however, spiritually you're new, your flesh was not renewed at that time. I don't know about you guys, when I got saved, I gave my life to Christ, said yes, I accept what Jesus Christ did for me as my Savior. I need that, I know that, and I accept it. I didn't get any younger that day. I didn't, at that time I had addictions and things in my life. It didn't all drop off immediately. So my flesh wasn't overnight transformed. There was something that happened definitely on the inside, but your spirit is what got born again. Remember, Jesus said, that which is spirit, it becomes spirit. That which is still flesh. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions did not experience the same instant transformation. Okay? A guy that gets a heart transplant still got the same hands and feet that he had before, right? Okay? So your heart is transformed by God, but the outside, some of it still hasn't taken place yet. The scripture did not say that you have a new mind. It did not say that you will not remember your old life. It did not say that you will not remember the experiences you had before you got saved. Now, I know lots of Christians in my life. I've met lots. Some of them had things happen before they were Christian. They experienced things, good things, bad things, whatever. And then even as a Christian, later on, years down the road, 20 years later, they're still struggling with that event that took place. That has not been washed away. Your mind is not like wiped clean, right? Your spirit is. You're cleansed on the inside, but your mind still remembers some of those things. We still have that. We still remember some of the life and experiences that you once had. We are instructed as a believer in Christ to renew our minds by the Word of God, right? Renew your mind. So your spirit is already new. You're a new creation in your spirit, but it says to renew your mind. Renew it. Make it new. Okay? So look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 4. He said, know this, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Okay? Well, Pastor, that's kind of a strange verse to throw in at this point, but why? Because if Jesus is saying the Word of God is our bread, the Word of God is what we need to sustain or to live off of, okay? You do not live by the natural, what you can see with your eyes realm anymore. We now live according to the Word of God, and what it says now rules our life. We became spiritual. We are now governed not by the natural bread of life out here, but by the bread of life, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, His Word, God's Word. That's what we have. The Bible tells us that the faith that we need to believe in the completed works of Christ comes through hearing the Word of God. Do you remember what it says? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It comes by hearing and hearing repeatedly the Word of God. Why? Because we're going to get the Word of God into us. We're going to begin to see ourselves and allow our life to be adapted and shaped and changed and governed and led by the Word of God, by what God says is right, by what God wants us to do instead of our own personal attitude, our own personal desire and flesh. Okay, the Bible says all we have been given or need to know comes through hearing of the Word of God. Look at Romans 12:2, pretty famous, popular scripture among Christians. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay, by the Word of God, so that we can now prove what is the good things of God, that we know what God wants us to do. So your spirit is as pure and as holy as it can possibly get. Okay, your spirit can't get any more right with God. It's already there. It's already, quote, righteous. It's right with God. Your spirit is already there. Your mind, however, can still think evil thoughts. Your mind can still lust, cause you to lust. Your mind can still cause you to hate. Your mind can still allow or cause you to be prideful. So you have to renew your thinking so that it lines up with God's Word and God's way of thinking. God so spoke, then we believe, we receive, and now we walk in what He spoke. We want to live in it. If you have problems in your life, if you have a lusting problem, or you struggle with some of the guys want to look at pornography. You have to line your way of thinking up with God's way of thinking. You have to begin to look at women the way that God looks at women. He did not create them as an object to be lusted after. He created them beautiful, wonderful, a precious and dear creation. Somebody to be adored and taken care of. Somebody to be help us, you know, for us to be thinking, you know, this is someone I can provide for. This is somebody that I can embrace. Somebody that has maybe compassion in areas that I don't have. Maybe somebody that you know, gosh, a kid smashes their finger, they usually run to their mama. There's a reason for that, right? It's because the women have something different than men do, and we need to begin to see that. Look at the scriptures. Read it and begin to see how God views women. And then it changes the way that we look at women as well. If you have problems with greed or a love of money, then you have to alter your thinking from that old unregenerate man's way of thinking to God's way. Money can be a great tool. Jesus spoke on it over and over again. About a third of his teachings were on money or possessions. It's a huge part of our life, even as a Christian. So there's a lot on it that we can begin to see that money and possessions were useful, but it's not what life is about. That's not our main focus. I don't go to work just because I got to have money. I got to have more. You know, there's something more deeper to it than that. And we need to begin to see that. As a child of God, and if you want to write this down, I think I made this up. I don't think I've ever heard it before. And I thought it was a pretty good quote. As a child of God, we bring our body under subjection. There's a scripture for that. We renew our mind by the Word of God. And we live from our spirit. So we bring our body under subjection, we renew our mind, and we live from our spirit. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, Romans 8, 5 through 9 says this. It says, for they that are after the flesh, they still thinking of going after, following after, being dictated by, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, it's not lining up with the Word of God. That's the law of God. So then they that are in the flesh, it says, cannot please God. But the good news is, number 9, verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, then he is none of his. Now, I asked everybody at the beginning of the service, who in here believes on Jesus? You believe he was sinless? You believe all? Who has accepted him as your Lord and Savior? And all the hands went up. Okay, so if we believe that, verse 9 says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that's what we receive, that transformation on the inside in our heart has happened. Now we live it out. We're not in the flesh anymore. We've been given a new life, a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's a good place to be. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are now a spiritual being capable of living out the ways of God, not being dominated, not being governed by your flesh and the animal appetites of your flesh. You know, gosh, I use this example a lot, but I just rounded up our bull this last week. He had gotten out and stuff. We went out and got him, and all I had to do was get a big bucket of grain, shake it. Here he comes running. Okay, I mean, it was... Okay, now get this. I don't know how graphic I want to get, but okay, the bull was in with somebody else's cows, in with their heifers. Ours is a black Angus, his a red Angus. It wasn't going to be a good deal, so I went to go get him out. And I went out, and Elijah was behind me holding the gate open, and I just shook that bucket, and here he comes like a hippo, just running right for you, you know, right towards this bucket. And I kind of held my ground, come up, let him get a couple bites out of it. He's fairly tame. And so I let him eat out of that, and then I started backing up towards the gate, and he'd kind of snort, look back at those heifers behind him, and he had one that was pretty friendly, and so he was not really wanting to leave. And I do this a little more, and I take a few steps back, and he came a little bit, and we got to probably 20 yards from the gate. It was out in the middle of a pasture. We got about 20 yards from the gate, and he looks over, and his other animal appetite of the flesh kicked in, and he just snorted a little bit, and he turned around and ran back to the herd. Okay, so then I had to go get my horse and cut him out and do all that stuff. It was a big ordeal. I ask Elijah, it was quite an experience. But the idea is that that's an animal appetite of the flesh. That is how strong your flesh can be. And as it lusts towards something, as it covets something, as it, you get in pride and that spirit of pride, there's strength in that. Okay, just like for that bull, he could not resist that bucket at first, but then a different flesh desire rose up and he went after that. And so that's that flesh attitude. You are not in the flesh anymore. It still tries to attack us. It still tries to influence our life. It still thinks it has this pull because we let it. We don't live from the new creation. We're still thinking, well, I'm still that old guy that used to have this trouble with, you know, women and you know, I still have this weakness for this. And we still think of ourselves sometimes that way instead of realizing you're a new creation spiritually in Christ. Your flesh is going to struggle, but the Spirit can bring the flesh under subjection. Okay, the Spirit is stronger. We just have to yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him have His way. Colossians 1:20 through 23. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Jesus, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, you that were at one time, that we were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. He brought us together with God in the body of His flesh through death to present you to God. This is how, what He did. He did this so that He can present you, His precious dear children, in verse 22, in the body of His flesh through death, so that He can present you to God, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. And it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ coming. I put my faith in him. It's not based on my works. It's based on what he did. That's the gospel. He said, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Whereof Paul praises God. Thank God I have been made a minister. Okay, and I believe I have. I believe you have. We have been made a minister of the gospel. This is the good news. This is the salvation by faith alone, by faith in Jesus. It said that you are holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is who you are now in God's eyes. He looks at you and he sees holiness. He sees you're unblameable. He can't find anything wrong with you because your faith is in Jesus. You have put on that robe of righteousness that Jesus gave you. It's there. That's how he sees you. What Jesus has done through his life, death, and resurrection that we place our faith in has given us free and open access in the Spirit to love of God, to the power of God, and to the righteousness of God. You can live out the life that God intended for you. You do not have to live with a failure mentality. You don't have to live believing that you'll never be good enough for God. God has done what he needed to do to make you good enough, and then he gave you access to him through the Spirit so that you can live it out. He wants you to live it out. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, this is who you used to be, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Next verse, Bob. That at that time, this is before you accepted Christ, at that time you were without Christ, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes or at one time were far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and he broke down the middle wall of partition between us and God. Jesus did that for you and I, so that we can live out this life that he wants us to live now. It's a good and awesome life. You at one time were incapable of pleasing God at all. Incapable. You couldn't do it. No matter, you just walked an old lady across the street carrying her groceries, walked her dog, washed your car, you go on and on. Name it all. You did it all. That was not pleasing to God because it was done outside of Christ. It was not done with Christ and with the love of Christ being the main motivator for that. It was done with you as the motivator to make you feel good, maybe to make that other person feel good, but it was not pleasing to God. We at one time were incapable of pleasing God. You were not capable by your own willpower or by your own strength of your flesh to live righteously. It was incapable. We were impossible for us. But now you are spiritually a new man, a new woman that is fully capable, fully empowered, fully endowed with everything that we need to be able to live out a life that is pleasing to God. But it takes faith in the unseen realm to believe in something. Maybe you haven't seen it come to its full fruition yet. Okay, your mind, your flesh is still a little struggled here and there. You've still got these things that try to come at you from the old man life that says, no, you still have a weakness here. No, I still have control over you. And it tries to pull on you to get you to go back to that stuff. And we need to know that the power of God now has given us the ability to walk away from that. You have to believe more in the plan of God. Believe more in what the Word of God says about you than you do in being able to what you can just see with your own eyes. Okay? Because sometimes we don't see it. Anybody have a bad day, Christian-wise? Okay? Kind of one of those days that didn't go so well and you cussed at the dog and, kicked your wife and, no. The other way around, probably, hopefully. Okay. So sometimes you might have a day like that, and so that is that flesh. Okay, the flesh didn't get born again. Flesh didn't get to start over that day. The flesh has to be brought under subjection. Our mind is renewed by the Word of God, and then we live from the Spirit. If you live according to the Spirit, this is why I encourage people to pray in the Spirit. Because when you do that, you begin to click. You begin to go where God wants you to go, do what God wants you to do, say what God wants you to say, and things start clicking and happening in your life more and more as we live and walk in the Spirit and not according to the ways of the flesh. Remember what Jesus said, that which is flesh, that which is spirit. I want to live in and from the Spirit. We're instructed in more than one place, I've got to wrap this up, is in more than one place we're instructed in the Scripture to put on and to live from the new man, or woman, to live from that instead of seeing ourselves as still that unregenerated one. Ephesians 4:17 through 24, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth," or from now on, now you're saved, right? You got a new heart. "Walk not as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God." They were alienated from it. It was dark to them. They couldn't quite figure out how to get to that. This is like Nicodemus, okay? This is like that guy that came to Jesus. "I believe you're a good teacher. I believe that you've done some miracles. I might be going to believe in you, but I'm not quite there." Okay, alienated from the things of God, from the way of God. Where is it at? "Henceforth, you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance." They just didn't know what you're learning today. "Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." It had not been taken out. It hadn't been changed out yet. So through the blindness of their heart, who being, verse 19, past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Next verse, "But you have not so learned Christ." This is what you're learning. You have not so learned Christ to be without him. If now verse 21 says, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him," or about him, "as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or the conduct that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Verse 23, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." There's that how he sees you now stuff. Put off that. Put on the new man and begin to live from who you are now in God's eyes. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off that old man and put on the new. When we first trusted in Christ, something changed in us that now makes us capable of living out the ways of God. Your understanding is no longer darkened. You are no longer ignorant to the way that God has provided for you. You are no longer blind to godliness and to righteousness, to holiness. You're not blind to that. It's not unobtainable for you any longer because of that change that took place in your heart. The truth of who you now are is in Jesus. It said the truth is in Jesus. Okay, that's who you are now. You were created by faith in him to be holy, to be righteous, and without blame. Again, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, he reminded them too of this change that had taken place in their life. Okay, he says basically this: don't live like the old man any longer, but live like the new one that you are now. Don't live like the old man that you were. Live like the new creation in Christ that you are now. Look at this passage in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. He says, "If you then be risen with Christ," that's us, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness," it means put to death, that's mortify, right? Mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime, at one time, when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, put off anger, and wrath, and malice, and blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor freed, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect, the chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. This is the new life. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I love the way that Paul ends this passage, and be ye thankful. He's saying, don't live like you used to live, because that's not who you are, but live like you are now, and be thankful that God has made this possible. Be thankful that you have had a transformed heart. Be thankful that you have the Word to renew your mind with. Be thankful that you can live from the Spirit. Praise God that He has given you a new heart. Praise God that He has changed you on the inside. And thank God that you are not who you used to be. Amen. Father, we praise you this morning. Grateful for your Word. Father, I thank you that you have, Father, created in us exactly what needed to be created in order for us to love you, to serve you, to bring glory unto your name, Lord. Father, I thank you and I pray that today and beyond, as other people listen to this, Father, that the hearts will be transformed, that people will acknowledge and know that if they have accepted you as their Lord and Savior, that a transformation, life-altering, life-changing, eternal life-changing, but also life on earth-changing change has taken place. Lord, I pray that we understand how much you love us. We understand that you put this plan together, that we can trust in you and receive it from you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as you take us from here, Lord, that we can walk out of here living the new life, living the new creation, living from the new man, the new woman that you have made us to be, Lord. And that the body, the flesh, the mind, those things we will bring under subjection, that we will put them in their place, Father, with the Spirit that you have placed within us, Lord. We have a new heart and a new spirit within us, Lord. We praise you and thank you, for it is from you that these things take place and have been given. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Thank you again for your love for us and the new life that we have in you. We praise you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.